darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. She no longer has a place to
praise the Lord, church. Here on a wonderful Sunday afternoon, we can't, everybody, if you'll just stand in honor of a holy King, because He is here tonight. He's present, and He deserves all of the glory. He deserves all of the honor tonight.
God is fighting for us. He has overcome, we will not be shaken, we will not be moved, Jesus, you are here, carrying our burdens, covering our shame, he has overcome, yes, he has overcome, we will not be shaken, we will not be moved, Jesus, you are here. Power of Christ alive in me, and I am
What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Hallelujah. Come on, that name has no rival. That name has no rival tonight. Magnificent, wonderful, splendid, majestic God we serve. Amen. There's not enough words to describe who He is tonight. Amen. He's a good God on a bad day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So good to be in service on a Sunday evening. God bless you for being here. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? God is so good. Amen. We're glad to have you here tonight, and our prayer is that you'll leave blessed, and more so than blessed, but you'll leave changed. Amen. That's the purpose of coming to church. It's not just to be stirred, but to be changed. Amen. And looking forward to Brother Kelso preaching the word tonight, and always does a marvelous job, and I know God's going to move tonight in a special way. Amen. Asking for our ushers to please come receive our tithe and offering tonight. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving. God bless you for that. Amen. Because of you, the church goes forward. Amen. Thank you for giving. God bless you in Jesus' name. And I do want to make a reference tonight that all contributions for 2025 have to be turned in today. That's tonight. Amen. So if you have any contributions still lingering from 2025, they must be turned in tonight. And don't forget, we are still in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow starts our seventh or eighth day, however you want to put that on the calendar. But whatever you do, I told you when we began this, I'm not a legalist on stuff like this. You do what's best for you, and you pray, you fast. And I gave you a card. You could pick some things to fast from. You can do however you want to do it. I don't care. But just pray about that. Just make sure it's a sacrifice. That's the key. All right? And God will bless you. I promise you, God will bless your efforts when you begin praying and fasting. And the whole point of us praying and fasting, number one, is to bring the church, to bring us personally together with the Lord, but corporately. Amen. We're going into a season of revival in February, and we want to make sure we're all on the same page. Amen. So I encourage you, pray, fast, seek the Lord. God will bless you for that. Amen. You're aware of this. Brother Micah came this morning, and he addressed you as a congregation. We're rolling out a new church app, My Church app. And again, just to echo what has already been said, this is going to replace Remind app, okay? So if you currently use the Remind app for notifications for prayer requests, that's going away with, all right? So please be sure you download the My Church app. It's more than just getting notifications for prayer requests. There's a whole lot of stuff inside of that app, amen? And so I encourage you, please do that and download that, and I know it'll be good. Amen. And don't forget, everyone said Wednesday night. What happens on Wednesday night? Yeah, we got church here on Wednesday night. We got church here on Wednesday night, amen. Amen. Come to church Wednesday night. Amen. If you're not sick, if you're not dying, my God, be at church. God will bless you for that. Amen. Next Sunday, just by way of announcement, of course, AM, PM service. But in the PM service, you don't want to miss that. Right Road Quartet is going to be with us singing. They'll do a concert Sunday night, and you'll be greatly, greatly blessed by their ministry, and just a great, incredible artist, and God's gifted them greatly to sing, but also to minister. Man, it's going to be an anointing night of worship, and I think you'll really enjoy that. And so please come out next Sunday night, be a part of that. It's going to be a fun night. Also, the 25th of this month, this is the last day of our fast, is going to be Communion Sunday. It's a 1:10 a.m. service only, and we'll have communion. I'll preach a message. We'll end the message with communion. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. The Lord told us to do those things. So I encourage you, be here January 25th. I believe God's going to move in a sovereign way. Amen. I encourage you to come. It's going to be a great day. Tuesday, January 27th, of course, is Ladies United Fellowship at the Fish Fry. Nancy Millsap is speaking at that. And February the 3rd, Brother Sterling's getting married, him and Sister Angela, having a wedding shower at the R.L. Meyer Center, so don't forget that. There's also a baby shower for Weiss and Christiana happening on February 5th. Fired up about that. It's going to be great. Yeah. Welcoming all kinds of members to our church. Excited to see baby. Wash and Christiana come along. Amen. It's going to be good. Amen. So don't miss that. Everyone said revival. February 8th through 10th. Amen. I'm going to put it in you like a drug. Amen. Please be here for these revival services. Amen. It's more than just great preachers and great ministry coming to the pulpit, but it's about us coming together for a family revival. And I'll get more in detail about this in the next couple of months, but we're going to give you resources this year that's going to help families. And it is the will of God for us to have strong families in 2026. Strong families produce strong churches. Amen. So I am highly encouraging you. I've already talked to Brother Tuttle and Brother Hart about this, what our goal is for this revival. I'll talk to Brother Dean and Brother Foster that we are striving to put families together in a more special way, meaning it's more than just Sunday and Wednesday church. Amen. It's about having church in the home, if you will, living out your faith in the home. So please come be a part of this. It's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Monday night, a Tuesday night. I believe God's going to move in a very special way. The following weekend, February 15th, this is a weekend that I'm really trying my best. I'm asking you to help me get the word out to any friends you may have, any couples, any families, whatever, to have them come February 15th. That's going to be a very low-key service, all right? When I say low-key, I mean it's not going to be your typical Pentecostal Sunday, if you will. Our praise team will lead us in worship, but on purpose, this pulpit will be out of the way. This platform will be transformed into a living room type setting. It's just a sit-down conversation about families, marriages. Brother and Sister Foster have traveled the nation doing stuff like this, and it's going to be a blessing to us in this church. I encourage you, be here, and don't just come by yourself. Bring a family with you, bring a couple. It's going to be a great day here, February 15th. I put a box in the foyer this past Wednesday night, or my wife did. There's a box in the foyer on the greeting table, and if you would, if you have any questions, please don't put your name on that, but if you have any questions regarding family or marriage, please drop that in the box, and Brother Foster and Sister Foster will get these questions about 2.5 weeks out in advance, and I need these all here by January the 28th. So please do that, and if you don't, I'll have plenty of questions, I promise you that. But if you'd like some personal questions, please do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget, everyone say revival.
Revival.
Everyone going to be here those nights?
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be a great time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for this offering. We ask you to bless it tonight, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost, we pray, remove the remainder of this service on Brother Kelso to preach the word. Let your spirit settle in this house, God. In a special way, I pray. I thank you for it by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Worship with our team as they lead us one more song.
Keeping God.
leave me. You said that you won't forsake me. And you're right beside me. And that is all that matters. You'll never leave me. You said that you won't forsake me. And you're right beside me. And that is all that matters.
Church, I don't care what you've come tonight, whatever it is that you've come to this place with on your heart, on your mind, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's refuge in the name of Jesus. All you've got to do is simply speak his name and everything is going to be all right. Come on, I wish there was some apostolics in this house that would begin to say the name of Jesus. I don't care whatever it is we're coming up against tonight. We begin to speak the name of Jesus. Everything is going to be all right. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Man, we serve a mighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. Amen. But I do want to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. If you would, please turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. The book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter number 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 4. The book of Joshua, chapter number 4, and verse number 4 says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? You shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Verse 8 says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged." And I want you to to hear what the word of the Lord says in verse number 9. Nothing extravagant, nothing flashy. But the Bible says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Amen. For just a moment, I would like to speak to you on this subject, the unseen memorial. The unseen memorial. Can we lay our Bibles down and ask the Lord to have His way in this place? God, we're so thankful that You've allowed us one more time to be in Your presence, God. I am asking You for Your divine direction, God, Your divine anointing that only You can give tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that You would lead me, God. Guide me, Lord. Change us before we leave this house tonight, God. We give You all the praise and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Can be seated tonight. Amen. We arrive here in Joshua chapter number 4. Just prior to this, we know that there was a period of about 40 years in which the children of Israel were rambling and wandering in the wilderness. Amen. And that they have arrived here at this point in time where we know that Moses has now passed away, and now it's on the shoulders of Joshua. Amen. You see, just some 40 years ago, the Lord had brought the children of Israel to a body of water. Amen. It was the Red Sea. And we know that it was there when they looked at this body of water and thought that there would be no way across. There would be no way through. But it was there that they saw the miraculous power of God whenever the waters began to part. Amen. And they walked across, amen, on dry ground. And they were headed into a territory. Their destination was a place called the Promised Land, and it was a place of milk and honey, and man, it sounded great. Everything sounded fantastic, but it was in this area called the wilderness that they began to develop a grumbling and a groaning, and people began to gripe and complain. And this went on for a period of about 40 years, and we find that after 40 years, Moses has now passed away, and now it's on the shoulders of Joshua. And the Bible says that he told the children of Israel, he said, it's time that we gather ourselves together. It's time that we stop living in the wilderness, and I think it's time that we go forward into the Promised Land. Now, I want to bring you to this place tonight. The Bible says that they left a place called Shittim, and they came to just outside of the banks of the Jordan River, and the Bible said that they camped there. And this was in a period of time of harvest where the Jordan River was outside of its banks. It was completely flooded, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen a place. I remember a time whenever I would go to this, Sanders Creek, and you could drive across that bridge, and you could look over that bridge, and you knew right where the creek was. But after a long, hard rain, you could drive over that bridge, and you couldn't really find out where the creek was because the water had receded up into the tree line, and you didn't really know where the creek was. And man, I had a buddy of mine tell a story one time. He said that he had went down there and he was trying to get in some good fishing, and sometimes, you know, when you're really just that dedicated, he said, man, he said, I knew it had just rained, and he said, but I knew where that creek was, and he said, so I knew if I get my boat down there, I knew we was going to get into some fish. Well, that ain't what happened. Amen. He got his boat caught in there and had some engine malfunction and ended up turning his boat over, and him and his father was on board, and he said after the boat flipped, he said, all I remember was grasping and grabbing, but he said I found a limb, and he said I held on, I would holler out for my dad, and he said I didn't hear him. He said, I asked him, I said, man, I said, how did you know where that creek was? He said, well, all I knew is that if I could jump from one tree to the next and hold on to that tree, he said, I knew I was going to be all right. But he, you know, anyway, time went on, and he actually made it out. He said he was able to go down there a couple days later and get his boat. But, amen, just time going on, you would think you would just begin to look at that picture and thought, man, I don't even want to go down there to an area where I don't know where the deep spots are. I want to know where the solid ground is. I want to know where the water drops off. I want to know where that riverbed starts and where it ends. But the Bible says that these children of Israel had camped out in this area, and that it was a time of harvest, and so the waters were overflowing, and so they were brought to another body of water, and here they are. Lord, here's another body of water that we're going to have to cross in order to go into the promised land. But I can remember, amen, some time ago, I can imagine that there was some kids that said, man, I remember when I was just a little kid. I remember, amen, my mama and daddy talking about some 40 years ago, amen, whenever God first brought them into this wilderness, amen, that they came to a body of water called the Red Sea. And so I just believe that if God could do it back then, I know God can do it again right here at the Jordan River. Amen. The Bible says that Joshua began to assemble his officers and tell them, he said, I want you to go among the camp and tell them, he said, tell everybody to gather your stuff up. He said, tomorrow when you see the Levite priests, when you see them gather the Ark of the Covenant, he said, it's time to move. When you see the presence of God begin to move, then that means we got to get up and we've got to go. Amen. I can just imagine in my mind, the Bible says that Joshua told the people, he said that, you need to keep a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. That's about a half a mile, roughly about a half a mile. And so I could picture in my mind that Joshua was looking ahead, and he was saying that, well, he said, as long as we can see where the presence of God is, as long as we can see where the Ark of the Covenant is, as long as they can make a path before us and we follow it, then everything will be all right. And it wasn't until the very next day that the voice of the Lord began to speak to Joshua. Amen. And he told him, he said, all right, he said, I want you to tell those priests to go down to the edge of the water, and I want them to step their feet into that water. Amen. I can just imagine, praise God, I can imagine the sound of the waters as they were rolling. I can imagine looking across the Jordan and seeing Jericho over in the distance. But I can just imagine what was going on through the minds of the children of Israel as they stood there. Amen. But the Bible says that the moment that the priest's foot touched the water, that the Bible says a few miles upriver at a place called Adam, the Bible says that the waters completely began to dry up. And so the Ark of the Covenant walked across this Jordan River on dry ground, and the children of Israel followed shortly behind. But the Bible says that when they got to the other side, this is where we arrive tonight, the Bible says that Joshua gave some instruction. He said, I want you to choose out 12 men of every tribe. And he said, I want you to gather a stone in this riverbed, and I want you to put it on your shoulder, and I want you to carry it out of this riverbed, and we're going to make a memorial, amen, in where we're going to be camping at tonight. Because in time, in the future, whenever people come by this place, they're going to look at this monument and they're going to say, what does this monument mean? And we're going to say, well, amen, let me tell you what happened, amen, not long ago whenever there was raging floodwaters. But there was a God that allowed us to go across on dry ground. When it seemed impossible, Jesus made a way. Now, I can I can probably imagine this, that they probably weren't a gathering of pebbles. They probably weren't picking up little hand stones. But I could imagine that if this was going to be a monument, then this was going to be some pretty good sized stones. So these men had to be chosen. They had to be strong. They had to be able to carry these burdens. And they had to be able to be strong and able. And so they chose 12 men. And I can just imagine seeing them as they walk down into this riverbed, and they gather these stones and made their way out, and they begin to stack this memorial. But the Bible says that as people begin to look around at these men as they were beginning to stack these stones for a memorial, that the Bible says that Joshua was down in the bed of that river. And for every stone that was carried out, Joshua began to gather another stone, and he began to stack it on top of one another. And he began to stack it for his own memorial. Amen. You see, the Bible says that after everything was said and done, and people made their way out of this river, and their monument was built, the Bible says that as the priests left the river, that the waters receded and everything covered this unseen memorial. Now, in time past, we hear that, amen, as they begin to camp out and days gone by, years gone by, that memorial still stood there by the banks of the Jordan River. And kids would say, "Tell me what happened there, and what does this memorial mean?" And they would say, "Well, let me tell you what God did. Amen. Let me tell you how he brought us across the Jordan River." But nobody ever talked about the unseen memorial that was down in the river of Jordan. The Bible says that at that time that this scripture was written, it said that at that time that the memorial was still there unto this day. And so we never hear about this unseen memorial ever again until we arrive in the book of Matthew. And I will tell you that there is a man by the name of John the Baptist. And as our pastor was preaching this morning, amen, I began to feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen, as he began to say, "Praise the Lord, that God's going to turn the church on its head, and revival is going to come from places that we've never seen before." And it echoes just here as John the Baptist, when Jesus said, "Amen, what have you come out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What have you come out to see? Somebody that's dressed in soft raiment." Amen. But let me tell you something. John the Baptist, amen, was dressed rough. He didn't probably look like an apostolic preacher. He didn't look like one that could preach the truth. But the Bible says, amen, that there was something that he cried, "Amen, make ye, I pray God, prepare ye the way." And there was something that he began to preach. And it's something that people don't like to hear every day. I've come to tell somebody something tonight, that he preached, "Repent, repent." Every time we come into this house, we must repent. Sometimes, amen, we believe that whenever we talk about repentance, that repentance is for the sinners. Amen, praise God, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I don't have to repent anymore. Amen, let me tell you something, you're dead wrong. Amen, every time that we come into this house, we ought to find us a good old-fashioned altar and say, "God, I've got to repent. I've got to get some things out of my life. Lord, I've got to make my salvation. I've got to make my calling and election sure." It was here when John the Baptist was standing in the Jordan River, and he began to preach repentance. He began to preach. And people began to, "That's not something we need to hear about. That's not something we need to really pay attention to. We need to hear about prosperity. We need to hear about something else besides repentance." But John the Baptist was trying to tell somebody, it's time to wake up, because there's someone that's coming. And he's not only coming, but he's coming with a hand of judgment. He's going to swing the axe at the root of the tree. He's going to hew down every tree that doesn't produce fruit. And John the Baptist said, he said, if you're not going to hear these words that I teach, if you're not going to hear this message of repentance that I preach, he said, then maybe God will raise up these stones. Talking about the stones that Joshua had built in that Jordan River. He said, God's going to raise up these stones, children of Abraham. Amen. And my mind began to wonder. Amen. So I finally figured out what these unseen memorial began to mean. You see, the memorial on the outside of the Jordan River, it meant what God had already done, what God had already brought everybody through, what God's done in the past. But the unseen memorial that Joshua built in that bed of the river, it represented what God is going to do in the future. I'm so thankful tonight that we've got some apostolic people that have carried a burden in their life and that they built, amen, a memorial outside the Jordan River that said, hey, look what God's done. Look what God's done. Amen. Look how God's healed my body. But I've come to tell somebody something tonight. There's an unseen memorial that nobody's talking about. I'm talking about the revival that's coming in 2026. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what God's already done in 2025. I'm talking about what God's going to do in 2026. People have struggled. People have, amen, people have lifted burdens. They've carried these stones, amen, and they've built memorials that are flashy, that everybody wants to ask questions. Hey, tell me what happened. Yeah. Tell me about that amazing service y'all had on that night where Bobby Pins was flying and people were slain in the spirit. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. And we know all the details. But like John the Baptist, Jesus said, what have you come out to see? If you've come out to see somebody that's going to try to tickle your ears and try to maybe preach prosperity, then you've come to the wrong place. Church, let me tell you something. I don't care if you get mad at me or not, but I want a man of God that will stand behind this pulpit and tell me that you need to line up, because if you don't, you're going to be lost in a burning hell. I don't want to come out and see a reed shaking in the wind, but God, let me hear the truth of what I've got to do to make it. The unseen memorial represents, amen. Praise God, our elders long time ago, amen. You see, they've been building memorials that nobody's ever been talking about, that nobody's ever been seeing, that nobody ever asked questions about, amen. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you that it's those unseen memorials where the revival's going to take place, where, I'm telling you something right now, where healings are going to take place, where prodigal sons are going to return. All my life, I read about that scripture. It says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I don't know why in my human mind, but I begin to think about that as this, is that the gates of hell will not form an attack on the church. But that's not what that means. It says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. Do you know what that means? My mind goes back to the prodigal son as he was in that old swine pen. Do you know what he had to do? He had to climb across a fence. He had to climb over a gate. He had to climb over the fence in order to get back home. I've come to tell somebody something tonight. Upon this rock, God's gonna have a church, and the gates of hell are not going to keep the prodigal sons from returning back home. I don't care how long they've been gone. I don't care how long they've been out. We can't give up hope. Those memorials outside of Jordan, amen, they're all flashy, they're great, they're mighty. Amen, it's amazing to see what God's done. It's amazing to talk about all the things that God has done. Amen, it's great to hear the revivals that have happened. It's great to hear how many people were baptized. But I want to focus on the unseen memorial, the things that God's going to do in 2026, the souls that God's going to bring in. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Maybe they just might stink, but that's all right. You know why? Because a long time ago, while somebody was hauling those rocks out of Jordan, there was a man of God that was orchestrating and lining up other rocks saying, hey, I'm going to bring prodigals home. I'm going to bring those that need the gospel home. I'm going to bring them to a church where truth is preached. The unseen memorials. It's ones that nobody ever talks about. It's ones that we don't really ever give that much glory to. After the Holy Ghost moves in a church service and everybody has gotten the blessing that we so, amen, wanted and the power of God begins to move. Just as Joshua begins to climb back down in the Jordan River and begins to pile those stones up, the man of God begins to crawl in that prayer closet and he begins to orchestrate those stones. God, I want to see a greater revival than ever before. God, I want to see people filled in these pews. I'm asking somebody something tonight. Amen. We need to stop looking in the rearview mirror at what's happened in the past. I don't care who's wronged you. Amen. I don't care what's happened in your life. I don't care what somebody said about you. Amen. If there's anything that I can preach tonight, it's repentance. Amen. We need to find ourselves a place and say, God, amen, if I've been the reason that somebody hasn't made it back home, then shame on me. I need to make my way to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, you need to remove whatever it is from my life that's keeping somebody from walking in those doors and coming back home where they need to be. Stand with me all across this house tonight. These altars are open. The children of Israel, they begin to talk about the things that happened. Man, not once, but twice, God has delivered us and allowed us to walk through a place that was flooded, a place that looked impossible to cross. God made a way. I know tonight, it's been preaching, 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 preaching. You're like, preacher, I'm tired of hearing it. We are closer now than we have ever been before to the coming of the Lord. I'm not here tonight to stand behind this pulpit and get political. But I don't know if you've read the news. Seen the news. But But if you've been taught anything over the course of your life about the things that have to line up before that old trumpet sounds, my old eyes start begin to get wider, and the hairs on the back of my neck begin to stand up, because we are getting closer to the coming of the Lord than we have ever been before. Church, I want to tell you something tonight, that now is not the time to get relaxed in the spirit. I don't know how else to say it, but we don't need to come into this place and sit in our spiritual recliners and hit that side latch and get our feet kicked up in the spirit. But now is a time when we should be pacing the floors, praying one more time as Pastor preached this morning, praying one more time for somebody to come back home. God, help me. Give me the words to say to those. Man, that absolutely was amazing this morning to hear. But that's exactly how the church should be. We shouldn't have to say, well, let me call my pastor and my pastor can come do it. Here's some water. Here's some water right here. I'll baptize you right here in the precious name of Jesus. There ain't no time like the present. Why wait until tomorrow when we can do it today? Oh, that won't never happen. Moses said, I got a stuttering problem, Lord. He won't never listen to me. God's trying to raise a generation that said, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust me. I know there's a memorial that everybody talks about. There's a memorial that everybody sees. But if you'll trust me, there's a memorial that I've been working on that you ain't never seen. And it's going to produce some of the greatest victories, some of the greatest revivals that you have ever experienced in your lifetime. These altars are open right now. Church, listen. Before the children of Israel made their way to the banks of the Jordan River, there was something that the officers came by and told the people. He said, it's time to sanctify yourself. Can I tell you what's going on in these 21 days of prayer and fasting? There's some people who are starting to sanctify themselves. God's getting ready to move like he's never moved on this church before. I pray, I feel the Holy Ghost. I pray that if he doesn't use me, let him use somebody. Let him use somebody that'll listen. Somebody that'll say, God, use me. I'm going to tell you tonight, maybe that load has been heavy. You feel like maybe you've been carrying a stone for a long time. I want you to remember something, that while you're carrying that burden, God is orchestrating another thing. God's carrying something else that you can't see. God's carrying something that you can never imagine. God's getting ready to let something happen like you've never experienced before in your life. The these musicians begin to sing, I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I know it's been said time and time again, but I believe that one of the greatest revivals are going to break out in this very church that we stand in tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to stand next to somebody that I've never seen before, that I don't know their name. I don't know where they're from. And I want to say, would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Let's seek the face of God together. Come on. All across this house right now, why don't we just begin to reach out for the presence of the Lord right now as these musicians begin to come and sing. Come on.
Tell you, church, I believe you're aware of this, but in case you're not, I felt it a few minutes ago when praying that the revival that God is, I hate to say sending because I hate using that terminology, but the revival that we are currently in and moving into, it's going to be one void of pride. And what I mean by that is this. Is that when God gets done, a true revival sent from God, nobody gets their picture taken. When it's done, they say things like, that had to be God. It was a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. I want to echo something I said this morning in the first service. When God gave us the revival we had in the Houston area when we pastored there, we've been there 5 years, and you can ask my wife, it was hell on earth at times. I mean, it felt like it in every wall you could imagine. But when God sent it, he sent a man of God, a couple men of God, said, this is what God's fixing to do. It's going to happen like this. Brother Whittemore preached for us. He said, it'll happen suddenly in 3 months. And just like that, it happened. I didn't plan it. I didn't ask for it. I couldn't even take my, if I wanted to take my picture, I couldn't take it. They just started coming in. I didn't know who they were half the time. Didn't know who was coming, who was baptizing folks I'd never seen in my life in one service. God just boom, boom, boom. What was that? It was God. And what God is doing here, you hear me, it's going to be void of pride. When it gets done, we will not be able to say it was a program we did. It was something special we did. It's just going to be the Holy Ghost invaded our church. And I feel it again. It's not just for this church. It's for every apostolic church in this entire region. God is going to shake this area with apostolic revival. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kelso. What a word from the Lord tonight. We thank God. If we're not careful, Brother Griffith and I had taken the trip. C.P. Kilgore and Brother James Kilgore, and Lord knows if there's ever men that'll make you feel about that tall, it's men like that who really paid us, and the saints of God who really paid a heavy price to see great harvest in Lamar County. But I feel like if we're not careful at times, we can get so focused on how good it was that we forget that God wants to do something above and beyond what we can ask or think. We never let go of the past. Amen. Methods change. The message never changes. We thank God for our elders. We thank God for every saint of God, for every pastor who filled this pulpit. But there is something that's on the horizon. Brother Wayne Huntley said it best years ago. When God comes back for his church, it won't be a church hiding somewhere. It's going to be on fire. And we're going to be one of those churches that's on fire when God gets done with this thing. Amen. We love you tonight. God bless you. Thank you for coming to church. Amen. Don't forget again, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Ladies.